Hey, everybody, before we start the show, wanted to let you know that I am doing a live show at Largo in Los Angeles on June 27th. It's called Hanging with Paul Scheer. It's kind of like a talk show. It's kind of like a podcast, but it's not really a podcast. It's going to be me with some amazing guests, some of them musical in nature, and they're going to knock your fucking socks off. We're trying something totally experimental. So come out June 27th. Check out the show. Go to largo-la.com for tickets. Hanging with Paul Scheer. Be there for the first show so you can say to your people, hey, I saw the first time they did that show and it was a mess, or it was amazing. I don't know. Hey, while we're talking about amazing things, let's talk about our advertisers. Oh, I love our advertisers. They are amazing. But I want to make sure that you all continue to love our advertisers as much as we do, because we want to make sure that our advertisers best suit your interests. So head on over to Podcast Listener. That's podcastlistener.com/how. Podcastlistener.com/how. Answer a few questions for us, just a few short questions. It will help us better pair advertisers that work for you on this show. We would really appreciate it. It's totally free. There's nothing to do, and it just only helps us. So if you like the show and you want better ads, or you want different ads, let us know. Speaking of awesome ads, let me tell you about my good old friends at Skin Condoms. Oh, you know. You know how the Skin Condoms brand does, right? Skin Condoms, woo, your sex life is about to get an upgrade, okay? Have you ever had sexual relations and climaxed? Imagine that times 10. That's what Skin Condoms are going to do. Now, they don't promise that. I'm making that promise to you. Why? Well, let me just tell you again. It's not their promise. It's my promise to you. Skin Condoms are amazing because not only do they give you the protection of a latex condom, but instead they are made with a polyisoprene material called Skin Feel, which is softer than traditional latex. How soft, you ask? I'll tell you how soft. It's like rubbing a puppy made of condoms. Think of that image, rubbing a puppy made of condoms. It feels so damn soft. They're natural. 97% of people who tried Skin Condoms recommend them. How do I know? I went out. I did the data. I did the research. These people love to fuck and they love their Skin Condoms. Plus, they're completely safe for anyone with a latex allergy. So if you're ever in a relationship and the person that you are trying to get a condom on is like, oh, I got a latex allergy. Guess what? It doesn't work on me, brah. All right, put this on. So head over to buycondoms.online to explore Skin. That's SKYN condoms, personal lube, and more. They didn't say lube. They said lubricants. I shortened it to lube. And so much more. Get the free oh, these condom ads. I love it. And get free shipping on your first order by using the code BONKERS. That's right. Enter the code BONKERS to get some discounts on condoms. That's the way we do it. Skin Condoms. Head on over to buycondoms.online. They'll come in a nice, easy package.
Lord, when I die, bring me back as a killer Dodge and let me take care of everyone who wronged me. We saw the Wraith, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Games and Street Fighter helps to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado the Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause the bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of Largo! We are live here at Largo at the Coronet, our LA home, one of the best theaters here in Los Angeles, and we are so excited to talk to you tonight about a movie that can be barely called a movie. The Wraith. Charlie Sheen, Sherilyn Fenn, Randy Quaid, Nick Cassavetes, and of course, Ron Howard's brother. It is a great, great film, and we have a lot to say about it. But first, please welcome my co-host, Jason Manzoukas!
Hello.
Welcome.
What's up, jerks? How's everybody doing? I'm gonna be honest. You guys seem quiet for a 10 p.m. show. Not enough drunk people.
They'll all be coming in 5 minutes of the podcast. Oh, shit. Whoa, I thought it was 10:30.
Oh, shit.
It was fucking 10:30. Shit.
I want people asking questions. Topless.
So, Jason, before the show started, I was saying to the audience that I remember the cover box of this movie when I worked at Blockbuster. Did you?
I had no concept of this movie.
Okay.
And I don't know how it escaped me because it's got like a bunch of my favorite stuff in it.
Yeah.
Dodges.
Yep. Sherilyn Fenn's boobs.
She got naked a lot.
She got naked a lot. It was wild. Chucky Sheen.
Yeah, Chucky Sheen. So good. Pre-Platoon.
I didn't know this movie. This is like, I don't know how it escaped me because I feel like it's straight into
like
when I was
age,
a kid.
Yeah, the age that you would be.
Watching movies like this.
Yeah, you would want to watch a movie about.
It doesn't matter. Well, who cares? I'm going to be honest. This is a giant who cares.
Well, you know what? We should we'll talk about it all.
We can. Or not.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care.
This show will just be all of us having brunch up here. It'll just be casual conversation.
We have Chardonnay.
Today is a How Did This Get Made All-Star show, which means that instead of having the wonderful, talented Junior, we are going to have one of the amazing, hilarious guests of previous episodes. You remember her from an episode called The Phantom with Billy Zane. She has been on other episodes as well. She's a very funny stand-up comedian. She works for The James Corden Show. Please welcome Eliza Skinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back. You did The Phantom with us, and you also did, didn't you do that?
Safe House.
Yes, Safe House.
Oh,
classic
when
romance.
We all had a moment at the end.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we are dragging you through these movies.
No, man, I would have been watching them anyway.
Wraith, any... Did you know about it before?
I didn't, and I'm shocked. I also, like, so many of my favorite things. When I was a little girl, I had, like, a huge little girl boner for Charlie Sheen.
Because
my good taste goes back way far.
I had a great little boy boner for Clint Howard.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
By the way, I think...
But Clint is a blonde. I don't know.
Clint Howard in this movie, who's doing his, like, best version of, like, Eraserhead.
Everyone in this movie was in a different movie.
Clint Howard is my favorite part of this movie. But, like, without a doubt, except for Sherilyn Fenn's boobs.
Well,
Fenn's boobs on Clint Howard
Sherilyn
in the movie?
Fenn's boobs.
Perfect.
Sherilyn Fenn's boobs were much better in Twin Peaks.
Literally.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks.
Hey.
I'll say Two Moon Junction. I was going to say, though, is there any correlation to more... Jason's just holding
visual joke. Fuck you, podcast listeners. You'll never know. You're doing your laundry right now. You don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Something so beautifully physical. This is why the Roberto Benigni podcast never took off.
Him crawling across chairs in a crowd.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Before we bring out our special guest, I'll say
make him wait.
The Clint Howard, though, is always like a very quick scene in every movie. So my thought is we should make him longer in these movies because he does deliver consistently. Like, I feel like this is the longest Clint Howard performance I've ever
really
seen.
I really want there to be a Clint Howard, Brian Doyle Murray movie.
By the way, how about they just remake The Trip, that Steve Coogan movie?
Yeah.
Like, just have them in a car going through the countryside.
Perfect.
I would love to see that.
Clint Howard went through the script and just put exclamation points at the end of every one of his lines. And was like, now it's a movie.
You lose the race, you lose your car!
Okay, the first one to Dragonfire Crossing wins. You lose the race, you
the way.
What is it? It's a wraith. You know.
Him putting exclamation points there, I would argue, is probably more than any of the other actors did in this. That simple act.
Yep.
We have a very special guest tonight. This guy, you know him from the CISO show, Bajillion Dollar Properties, and the brand new show in which he stars, Shrink. Please welcome Tim Baltz.
Baltz!
Whoop! Whoop, 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 whoop. Tim, welcome to the show. Very excited to have you.
So excited to be here to talk about this pile of shit movie.
Well, let me ask you the same question. Did you know anything about the Wraith before it was assigned to you?
I had the older brother of one of my friends had the VHS, and he was like, don't watch it, it sucks. So we never watched it.
Oh. That kid is a fucking idiot. Because I'm going to go on record as saying this movie was fucking awesome.
I
was heavy into this movie.
What?
I was into it.
This movie to me is... It's like an art gallery more than a movie. It's like it's images.
It's an art gallery?
Sound and movement.
Yeah, not an art gallery. Like there's just something going on. Like it doesn't... I don't feel like it works as a movie. I'd be like, oh, that's a cool image. That's an interesting idea. That's an interesting character. That's a cool costume. But they all feel like a million other people. Like it was like, oh yeah, I went to an art gallery. Here's 10 different paintings. I like all of them, but there's no thing that like collects them together besides that they're all in one place.
Yeah, people are making real strong choices though. I feel like so all these different actors in this were like, I'm gonna fix it. Yeah. I got this. And just like did something super weird.
Well, the movie starts off, and this is where I thought it was an alien movie. I thought right out of the gate, these little orbs, kind of similar to Solar Babies, another movie that we did here on the show, are racing down the highways, paying attention to the roads, not just flying across the country, curving with the roads, and four of them, which is another odd thing. Four of these balls of light converge to create a Dodge car.
That's how they make them.
I mean, that makes sense. But it's interesting, too, because it's like...
But you know what? Dodge used to be made by American workers.
Oh, Jason, do not get on...
It was always balls of light.
It was outsourced to the heavens, where they were assembled by wraiths. You know what? I don't want these wraiths coming in. Why don't we build a wall?
Jason, come on now. But there is something weird about this. Like, I mean, not that this is the thing I'm going to hang my hat on about. It doesn't make sense, but...
It is a nice hat, though.
Thank you. It's from Jimmy Durante.
Put a bra on her.
Decidedly an alien-esque opening. Like, there's nothing here, like... For the longest time, I'm like, this is an alien movie.
I thought that as well.
Yeah, where are they coming from? Obviously some kind of foreign place. And then they come together to make this Dodge.
Yeah. Who doesn't, to me, didn't seem like... I mean, well, I guess they reveal that they, you know, there's a driver to it who's all... Yeah.
I had a lot of confusion
in
this movie that I loved.
Yeah.
And a lot of it centered around... I didn't understand why Charlie Sheen had to be... in the getup as the driver of the car.
Wait, Charlie Sheen was the driver of the car? I'm kidding.
Well, this is the interesting thing. I mean, so basically, just because I think to talk about this movie, we have to just kind of get the plot out. So Charlie Sheen was a guy who looked similar to Charlie Sheen. Who was badly murdered and now has come back as a wraith who drives a kick-ass car and is murdering all the people that were involved in his death.
Yeah.
Also a motorbike.
But he also
is a high school student who's riding like a motorcycle and is reconnecting with the girlfriend that he had just finished fucking when he was murdered.
And the brother that he pretends to not know.
Yes. But he's
And dislike.
But Charlie Sheen in the flashbacks does not play that character.
No.
So that character is another actor. He is like an angel of death?
Well, but
like
here,
a revenge?
Doesn't well, he at the end say, things. Like, this is the closest I could get?
Yes! He basically does.
Well, here's an interesting thing about the movie. Oh. Charlie Sheen booked Platoon right when this movie started production. So he couldn't play the other version of himself.
What?
He was supposed to play both parts. But if that's true, then it makes this movie make zero sense. Because
immediately upon arrival, everybody would be like, oh my God, it's you.
Yeah.
Well, and also wasn't Johnny Depp up for it and like there because he was dating Sherilyn Fenn at the time?
Johnny Depp was dating Sherilyn Fenn, but I didn't hear anything that he was up for it as much. He was up for one of the gang members.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Augie.
Yeah. So okay. He was not...
awesome.
Yeah, so he was just having sex with Sherilyn Fenn in a hotel. One of the facts I read was like, he lived with the crew in the crew motel, which sounds like... I don't know, like, well, I don't know why it was a distinction. Like, you know, like, as if, like, Nick Cassavetes is like, I live in the fancy hotel here. But if Charlie Sheen was supposed to play both parts, then I guess maybe it would be creepy when he came to the town, like, we killed him.
Well, what was weird is, like,
give him frosted tips and nobody in an 80s movie would know.
When he's in the hot tub with Sherilyn Fenn, or the hot spring, or whatever it is, he has the scars on his back of the murder that was done to him, she straight up doesn't notice.
Well, I was worried about that.
You were worried about it?
I was worried about it.
What were you worried about, too?
I was worried about it because I thought, like, oh, well, everyone's going to know who this guy is, right? And the element of surprise is gone, and then these guys are going to think, like, oh, that's the guy that we brutally murdered in front of his ex-girlfriend.
Right, who doesn't remember it. Conveniently doesn't remember it.
Well, I don't think it's a spoiler, but they do put a blanket over her head right away.
Okay.
Yeah. And punch her in the head.
They punch her in the head.
Like, but they repeatedly show them punching Sherilyn Fenn in the head.
But why?
There's so many different suspects in town it could have been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially the first time they're at the creek and Charlie Sheen is there and he's like staring at her and Cassavetes is there. He's the bad guy. They're staring at him, they're like, oh, don't get caught by this bad guy. And you're like, well, it can't be that obvious. He's not the villain, right? Nope. Flashback to the brutal murder where he is the killer. Yeah. Immediately. Yep. So all of a sudden you're like, oh, all right. Well, we know where this is headed.
Well, and it's also so bizarre because they kill her boyfriend and then it seems like immediately he's into this, like, kidnapping dating that they do. Like, they're not dating.
I can't
figure...
He just
kidnaps her every time.
Every day after work. He's like, every day after work, I'm kidnapping you.
That's the part of the movie that's like a bad fairy tale.
The whole Nick Cassavetes and his crew felt like a bad Grease sequel to me. Like, what if Danny Zuko went evil?
Well, and it was hung out they with were punks.
They were a weird mix of like punks. Like some of them look like high school like ska band members, and then others look like future Goldman Sachs execs.
I'll be honest. I know we've only scratched the surface of the actual plot of this movie still, but for me, the whole movie was Gutter Boy.
Oh. Gutter Boy and Skank.
Skank.
Gutter
Skank.
Skank.
Boy and Skank.
Skank. I could have cared or not, but Gutter Boy really there was a.
Skater, I mean, sorry.
Yeah, there was like a real like heart there, you know? I was like, what's gonna happen to Gutter Boy? And I think we all know.
The most compelling love story to me was Gutter Boy and Skank.
That is true, yeah.
A lot of duck butter out at the lake today, Pack. Quiff City, here I come.
See that guy over there? The one with Billy Hankins?
What about him? Looks like a dork to me.
A lot of dorks going around these days, okay? Whole town seething with him. He's crawling out of the woodwork.
Shut up.
Okay.
Guys, that motorbike over there. You see him or Billy around Cary? I want to know about it.
Aw, shit, Pack. I'd rather be working on the cars than... Hey, we'll remind the cog stacker. Use their influence, hey, God?
We use the influence.
Get rid of that zombie piss you're drinking before it turns you into a mushroom.
No problem.
zombie piss.
Yeah, right.
Dorks. Is he drinking gasoline?
Yeah. He's drinking hydraulic acid in one scene because it's a jug that says hydraulic acid.
Yeah, and he sprays a can of like WD-40 into his nose at one point.
That's he does offer it around usually. So.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up. Again, I don't know if I know exactly the difference between them, but Gutter Boy, I think, is doing an impression of James Dean. Our resident video expert, Avril Halley, put this together here. This is basically Gutter Boy. Let's see here. We got it right here. This is A Rebel Without a Cause and Gutter Boy, I believe. Here we go. So take a look at the exact same line.
I got the bullet!
I'm telling you, strong choices.
He also makes a lot of just noises. He's like doing like...
We are introduced to this gang of... And I described them as Mad Max rejected villains. It was sort of like... Can you just do the stand-in for the camera test? And then we're going to use real actors and things. So we're introduced to them as they, like, stop this car on the road, which, to me, this movie was made in 1986. It wasn't even that cool of a car that they stop. It kind of just seems like a normal, like, it just seems like a fine car. Like, it doesn't seem fast.
You're
it doesn't seem cool.
Like,
it's a fine car. And
you've got a fine car. Take me to plans.
But then, like, so they basically, like, the whole thing with this gang, which has nothing to do with the plot, really, this gang races people for their car, the pink slips, that's the grease element, I guess, of it, and then they get to keep the car. But the first scene, they're racing for a shitty...
I kept getting confused between that first scene, thinking those people were important.
Yes.
And thinking then that they were... Sherilyn Fenn and the murdered guy. And I was like, wait, no, it's not them. And I got super confused.
No,
but it's, yeah, it makes no sense that, like...
Again, what, I love this movie.
Why not just start off with, like, the Charlie Sheen thing? And what? And Charlie Sheen's murder, or the fake Charlie Sheen's murder, is just, like, he's having sex with his underwear on, like, all cool dudes
yeah.
do. Mm-hmm. Just
What's
slip
that
out
about?
Your peen out of that little They're, slot in your undies. And keep your undies on.
Wait, why are people laughing? Is that not the thing to do? Is that...
Oh, dude, I always keep my undies on when I'm going to the bone zone.
Me too.
For a movie that has a lot of nudity in it, for him to keep on his underpants was so odd. And it made me feel uncomfortable.
Did you get a close look at him?
The guy?
I went back
okay.
to show my girlfriend.
Yeah.
I was like, we're waiting for the Uber to come here. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to show you one scene. And it's going to be the first flashback to the brutal murder scene. And of course, like, I'm giggling at it. And she's looking at me like, what's wrong with you? What show am I about to go see?
Does this story end with you getting dumped? On the way to this show?
Maybe after this show. And I'm looking at the underwear again. I'm like, they're like weirdly like silk, translucent, yeah. super tight, smaller than they should be, but yep. not a thong.
It was actually the same underwear that Sofia Coppola used for the beginning of Lost in Translation.
Well, we got to get those buns in, guys. We got to get those man buns in the episode.
Just one thing also just to point out. We talked about Charlie Sheen not being available due to platoon shooting. They also, not only did they not use him as the flashback Charlie Sheen, they also used him throughout the movie. If you see here, we're playing a picture.
Yes.
One picture is of Charlie Sheen and one is not. It's the same scene when they're both in the hot springs. One is Charlie Sheen, one is not Charlie Sheen.
Her hair is totally different too. That's what I noticed about this one, that I was like, why did they reshoot that? Why did they have to...
So yeah, Charlie Sheen not available for a lot of this movie. And really, only, I would argue, probably is only in like...
Oh, very
three
little.
Or four scenes, right?
Well, yeah. The majority of it, he's wearing the helmeted getup.
Yeah.
Wait, he's wearing the helmeted getup?
Yeah.
Can I tell you the
by
first...
By the way, here's the underwear. We do have a picture of the underwear. Yeah, there
yes,
it is.
Yes, look at that.
Yeah.
Is that a...
American Apparel, 2008.
That could be a jock strap.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
That could just be straps.
Because what happens? happens to his crack?
But why can I see the crack?
It's a weird phantom crack.
I can see the crack.
But so you can't see all
like
of it.
I'm looking at just butt.
I feel like it's being sucked in by his butt because his dick is breathing and it's sucking the underwear through his butt. Right? What?
The old dick breath. Okay. Sure.
His dick is breathing?
Yeah. You know, when you have sex, your dick breathes and then sucks in through your butt.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're saying,
so
yeah,
it's
you're
kinda,
saying
you, you,
the
you
dick
poke it
breathes
through the hole.
In and whatever's against the asshole gets sucked in.
It's
so
like,
it's like
yeah.
when you open a door in one room and a door,
yeah.
a door in the, across the room gets closed.
That's exactly what's going on.
Paul?
Wait, yeah. That would be the dick exhaling and pushing the fabric forward and then pulling the other fabric into the butt.
I mean, I guess
this is way too sexy.
I guess it is. I guess it is underwear, but it looks almost like a like jockstrap weird.
And is and am I saying that her underwear is also in an odd position too? Or is that about right? Is that her
I
butt? I mean, she's kind of.
I can't figure out what
I'm looking what's happening.
At with her.
Because she looks like she has like the front part of her underwear.
Yeah,
on her.
Yeah,
like,
I feel
side.
Like on her hip.
That triangle is in the wrong place.
These people do
Does
not
Cheryl
know how to have sex
or wear underwear. She just put it on wrong.
This is that's a disturbing sequence. Hey, everybody. We have to take a brief break in our show to hear a few words from our amazing sponsors like Blue Apron. All right. Let me tell you about Blue Apron. Springtime is a great time to hit the reset button and retackle personal goals like getting fit, cleaning, and guess what? Cooking! That's right. I said it like Oprah, but like Oprah that has emphysema. Cooking! Luckily, Blue Apron makes incredible home cooking easy and accessible by delivering seasonal recipes with step-by-step instructions and pre-portioned ingredients right to your door, all less than $10 a meal. You hear me? $10 a meal. That's amazing. I'm a person who ordered in a lot before I got involved in Blue Apron. And let me tell you, this thing has changed my life. It's cheap, it's easy, it's fun. And let me tell you, there's no weekly commitment, so you can only get deliveries when you want them. Going on vacation? Fine with them. You want to take off a couple weeks? Okay with them. Let me tell you about these meals. Get ready for this. Get your taste buds ready. Hey, taste buds, can I tell you about the warmed smoked trout and asparagus salad with fingerling potatoes and garlic croutons? Or how about the spiced zucchini enchiladas with creamy lime and tomato rice? Oh, how about the elote-style vegetable tostadas with summer squash, poblano peppers, and cilantro rice? Or the peach honey-glazed chicken with mashed sweet potatoes, collard greens, and Thai basil? Ooh, they're good. Here's the thing. June and I are pescatarians, so we don't eat a lot of meat, except when it's barbecue. Franklin's Barbecue, Austin, I'll hit that shit up in an instant. Oh, but here's the thing. They have meals that work for you. So if you have any sort of allergies or food things, you can kind of get them to find the right meals that will actually work. So check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/bonkers. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Holy cow, I'm sleeping on a Casper mattress and I feel so good. That's right, Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Supportive memory foam creates an award-winning sleep service with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Bounce, skin condoms, Casper mattresses. All I'm saying, a match made in heaven. No, I like my Casper mattress. I actually love my Casper mattress. I have one. It's comfortable. It's cool. I don't know if that's a feature of it, but it always feels cool. I feel light on it. I love to just be enveloped in it because it does know how I sleep. I always have a good night's sleep. Memory foam is a fucking awesome thing. I love the memory foam. So you can try Casper 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up. Refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. Think of it, all right? So try out this thing. See if you'll like it. I think you will. People are saying it's amazing. I'm telling you it's amazing. We're all not wrong. So with free shipping, returns to USA and Canada, 20,000, okay, 4.8 star reviews. That's 20,000 4.8 star reviews. And this will quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. So get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/how and using the offer code how. That's casper.com/how. Use the offer code how. Terms and conditions do apply.
So yeah, so there's a lot going on in this movie. So
there's a lot of drag racing.
With the rules are always lose the race, lose your car. Yes. Which yes. Why would anyone ever agree to that? Win the race, win.
They're pressured into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like drive away.
Also,
you're in a car.
In a movie where you're trying to show like these are the toughest guys you'll ever meet, I don't think it's cool when the guy puts on a helmet. Like, Nick Cassavetes, like, put on my helmet. Like,
everybody puts on helmets to drag race. Nobody puts on a helmet to ride a motorcycle.
They do jumps. Charlie Sheen does a jump with Sherilyn Finn in that motorcycle over a bunch of trash. Neither one of them are wearing a helmet.
No, it's
By
crazy.
By the way, I feel like in that sequence, the trash is causing more of the problem than anything else going on there. It almost looks like they're aiming for trash. Everybody in that chase is like, hit the trash! They literally blow through so much trash in there. They're jumping trash, they're hitting trash, which is just, you know, basically just a way to say that they have no money. Like, we'll line up some more garbage bags here. But yeah, here you go. Like, trash. Trash is flying through the window. Oh, more trash. It's as if someone is throwing a garbage bag full of cans.
They don't have to drive into the trash.
No.
There's plenty of room.
There is so much room on the other side. Like, Skank is driving right into the trash.
But they spent all their money on exploding cars.
True.
Yeah, and the Dodge car that he has, this is another thing. When finally Charlie Sheen is racing, his car does the thing where it disappears, or I guess it just pulls in front and everyone crashes through it. It's and then it disappears and then it comes back stronger.
Sometimes.
And also like the weird.
Sometimes it sucks your eyeballs out.
The mechanical elements of his body like disappear from the crash sites.
But why was he mechanical to begin with? He wasn't a man whose body was broken. It's not like RoboCop. He was like kind of beaten and shoved into a trunk.
He's a ghost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so why would a ghost need like body cast?
It was part of his outfit. So the film was like, hey, remember, it's that guy. Like trying to draw a line between them.
But then they should have broken his legs and also.
They should have.
Like, I mean, right? Because
I agree, Paul. They should have broken his legs.
But it's like, it seems iconic. Like, he's wearing leg braces. But
I kept expecting that
anything.
To get explained.
Yeah.
Like, I kept expecting at some point I'm going to understand why he needs the exoskeleton, why. And that doesn't happen. Also, I loved the movie. It never got explained.
Yeah, it seems like something that Billy the Chatty Nerd would explain in one of his exposition piles.
Yes. Billy the Chatty Nerd, who is the brother of faux Charlie Sheen, that guy knows how to dump exposition like nobody's business.
Yep, just a hot pile of exposition every time he's in a scene.
I've never seen, like, I mean, that guy was like, he's like, hey, my name is Billy. Anyway, my brother was killed. He used to date that girl over there. I work at the hamburger shop. No big deal, but that guy is bad news. He's a real crazy guy. Don't look over there. And they drive that car. Fuel in the town costs $1.99. The year is 1986. We all live in track houses. Anyway, the last report card I got was this. It's like, Jesus.
And during all of that, his dead brother back from the grave was like, you suck. Like, he just was, like, really nasty to him at
his
first.
His brother comes back from the grave and spends no time with him.
Yeah.
His brother spends all of his time, his ghost brother, just trying to get back in Sherilyn Fenn's pants. Like, I would be super bummed. And then he's like, I'm out of here, bro. And then the kid is heartbroken. He's like, wait, he can't believe it was his dead brother.
My favorite line in the movie. Yeah,
Jake, Jamie.
Hey, Jake, who are you? Jake. Jamie!
My favorite thing about that was that Charlie Sheen, like,
signed on to make this movie.
He knew where his money was. Platoon is like, guys, can't do this movie anymore. Sorry. But like he doesn't even tell him in a good way. He's sort of like, he tells Sharon Finn, like, he's like, yeah, I came back and I come back for you and whatever. And he's basically, the only clue, the only way that he tells his brother is like, this kid happens to call him bro. Like, hey, bro. Hey, bro. He's like, you already said it. And then it takes him about 3 minutes to put that together. He's like, already said it. Jake. Oh, brother, Jamie. Like,
you know. Yeah, and also I love the goodbye is like, hey, I'm going to leave, but you can have this murder weapon.
Yeah.
And I've murdered everyone with it.
The devil blameth all on you.
For sure. He's going to jail now. That's that for Billy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's so, a terrible thing to do.
So he came back to life, A, for revenge, B, to fuck his hot ex-girlfriend, right, who he was brutally murdered in front of, and C, to frame his brother for all these revenge murders.
Yes.
I also love that she had her boyfriend murdered in front of her, but she's like, doing okay, working at a burger shop, yeah. No biggie.
And the cops never asked her about it. No.
You know,
and by the way, she gets over that pretty quick, besides being like, date kidnapped. When Charlie Sheen pulls up on the motorcycle half naked, and she's almost not wearing any clothes either. They're both like, he's like, oh, I'll show you where it is. Let me jump on your back of your motorcycle. Like, it feels to me like Charlie Sheen was killed like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Like, it doesn't seem like years have passed here, right? Or maybe, I mean, again, that would be a part of exposition.
I mean, he does look pretty different, so maybe.
I couldn't figure out how old everybody was supposed to be. I felt like it had the hallmarks of like a high school movie, but nobody was in school. At a certain point, I was like, do you think this takes place during the summer? Like, just between school years? I don't know.
Well, because they all are going to that, like, quarry party.
Yep.
You know, so they're not in school.
That seems summer. And she wears a swimsuit for a minute or two until she takes it off. It must have been summer. Or they graduated and they're all in their 20s and it should have been doing something better.
I don't know if they're supposed to be, like, in their 20s and like kind of adults or not, because they're all acting like kids, you know, except
the 40-year-old who's kidnapping.
Is yes, like an old guy who's like running a chop shop out of a fucking barn out in this. I couldn't make heads or tails out of it.
I mean,
I loved this movie.
Have we discussed who Nick Cassavetes is?
Yeah, sure.
He directed The Notebook.
Sure.
But this is where he started. John Cassavetes', son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing here, brother? What is this?
It is an odd movie because I feel like, again, everyone was sold a different bill of goods for this because they all came. I feel like they're all doing something, but no one like Woody Allen. I think is notorious for giving only.
Was Woody Allen in this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was Skank.
He's the guy in the black costume.
Woody Allen played Gutter Boy. Yeah. And introducing as Gutter Boy, Woody Allen.
But like, you know, like Woody Allen's like whole thing is like he gives you only the part of the script that's necessary for your character. Like, I feel like that's what everyone did here. It's like, because Nick Cassavetes, like, there's something bizarre. Like, there's something so bizarre with this character because he makes an agreement with a non-talking car. When they do catch the Dodge, he's like, let's race. The door never opens. You know what I mean? Like, there was a part of me that was like, is there even a driver in it? Is the car an alien?
I thought that as well.
I thought he was the car.
Yeah. I did as well.
Okay, I said it first.
I'm just agreeing with you.
They make an agreement with a car that's not talking, and not even talking like revving engine talking. It's like, we're gonna race. All right, get over here. Like the car goes like I would have taken that.
There might be a good reason that I just missed. Why does the car open its hood for Clint Howard to put something in it? What was that about?
Because they wouldn't race otherwise, but it's not a good enough reason.
I think they were like, we gotta check your engine, man, to make sure that you were not like putting like illegal stuff in there.
No, he wanted to put a thing in there, a radio controlled thing, so that he couldn't disappear. So like when you try to disappear, we can find you, so you can't disappear after that. Yeah, right?
Thank you.
Right? Yeah. So he's like, open the hood, and then the back opened instead, and Clint Howard is like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he goes and looks, and it's I don't know if it was just so beautiful?
No, it was like,
or unexpected.
He basically jizzed his pants.
Yeah, he really did. He was like,
when he saw that motor.
Again, in a different movie.
But it was also like, it was also like lighting up. I was like, like, it was not like, it wasn't, it was an extraterrestrial motor.
Yes. That's what they made it look like with the graphic.
Yeah. I don't know. I wanted it to be like pulsing and like have like limbs and tentacles and stuff. It just like light up. You can
the
do
the faces
you,
of the dead.
Yes. Ah! Yes. That would have been so good.
Also, now by today's standards, it just looks like a Prius engine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they opened it up and I was like, yeah, it looks pretty standard.
Yeah. It didn't look anything like super abnormal. It just it kind of glowed a little bit.
Cassavetes, he's got some of the best lines in the movie.
Yeah.
I think. And to your point that he's just doing like his own thing, someone else. He's got his own director, which, by the way, is Mike Marvin, which is a great name for two kids in a trench coat trying to direct a Hollywood movie. It opened up, and the first thing that caught my eye was I'm just sitting there, and I'm eating some snacks, and it says, a Mike Marvin film. And I'm like, what? Mike Marvin? And then the director of photography is Reed Smoot. So that means someone on set, like a PA or like the like line unit director or something like that, is like, Mike Marvin, Reed Smoot, Charlie Sheen. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Well, just to give you an idea of what Mike Marvin is up to, Mike Marvin wrote Hot Dog the Movie, Madame Savant, which is just a Playboy movie, and another movie called Sunstorm, which is just another movie where it's like where hot women just get naked in it. He directed also...
Wait, it's called Sun what?
He directed Hamburger the Motion Picture, and he wrote Hot Dog the Movie, just FYI. I just want to go back to that.
And he's in development right now on Burrito the Movie.
And then the odd one out of the mix, besides like movies like Wishman, The Dragon's Gate, Arranged Marriage, Getting Away, and Sunstorm, is Six Pack, the Kenny Rogers movie. Right? Remember that? Like where like, oh, there's a Kenny Rogers movie where like him, it's like Bad News Bears, but for NASCAR. Yeah. So it's like Kenny Rogers has like a group of kids like working on his car.
Kid Pit Crew?
Yeah, Kid Pit Crew. That's, yeah. That's all I remember. I was like, cool. When my dad brought it home and made me watch it. Like, when you have
made
no choice.
You watch it?
Yeah, because.
You sit here and you watch this.
You know, like, or at least like when I was a kid, like, your parents would go to the video store and you'd have no choice in what they would bring home. And like, you'd like this. Here, enjoy it. Like, you know, I feel like I watched, like, they were like, it's a kid movie. Watch it. I watched that. I watched one with John Ritter and he's like a superhero, like Condor Man or whatever it was. You ever see that?
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah. These are both amazing sounds.
Yeah,
we should do a series that is just the movies of your childhood.
So many of them. I mean, I finally found the one that I was obsessed with. Well, yeah, don't worry about it. Our audience figured out a movie that I was obsessed with.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But all right, I forgot the name of it again. So it won't have a
back
good
to zero.
Yeah, I would have told you, but I forgot the name of it.
Star Wars? Was it called Star Wars?
Yes, that was it. It was, yeah, I think it was Star Wars. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, yeah. That's the one, the space one, right?
Yeah.
With a Chewbacca?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Star Wars.
Starring Chewbacca?
Which is the one with Chewbacca in it?
It's Star Wars.
Is that all of them?
Yeah, Star Wars.
All of what?
All is it, it like, because I know, I think it's Star Wars. I think it's Star Wars. Wait.
Are you talking about Chewbacca?
Is Fred McMurray in it?
Is Fred McMurray in it?
In Star Wars?
From My Three Sons?
I get Star Wars and The Apartment confused. Chewbacca is like working and he has a good apartment or something. I don't know.
It seems fun, but
You're confusing the two.
I know that Chewbacca loves Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah, because in Star Wars, Chewbacca doesn't have an apartment.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the difference.
All right.
That's
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think actually, Star Wars is the movie where Chewbacca is doing his job.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the apartment is when Chewbacca is at home.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a home-based Chewbacca movie and a work-based Chewbacca movie.
I would love one of the new Star Wars spin-offs to be a remake of The Apartment. Rogue One, the Han Solo spin-off. the apartment. Uncle Sheik.
I would like one of the movies to just be a workplace comedy starring Chewbacca.
No subtitles. To your point about Nick Cassavetes, too, like that scene where he cuts his own hand.
Oh my God!
Says,
yeah. We're blood lovers.
We're blood lovers.
Blood lovers.
That is unhealthy.
And yet, sounds like it sounds like a movie that you guys would discuss on this.
Oh, 100%.
This week we're watching Blood Lovers.
By the way, I would 100% watch a movie called Blood Lovers. But he wipes his blood on her mouth.
But he also does blood brothers in a weird way, because he cuts his hand, mm-hmm. and then he licks it, mm-hmm. and then gives it to her. Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows you're supposed to do it in the exact opposite order. Where are you going with this?
Because he cut her hand too, right?
The idea of like blood brothers is like that you're supposed to like you cut your finger, I cut my finger, and then we mix it together,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But like he just cuts himself, and then he drinks his own blood,
yeah,
and then he wipes it on like he's not getting any blood out of this deal.
And
like,
she pulls back, which just means a smudge on her face. So it's not, there's nothing satisfying. There's no, he doesn't stick his thumb in her mouth or anything weird like that.
And by the way, a thumb in the mouth in this movie would have fit perfectly. Like that is a good move for this movie.
The top of this very scene, he ruins her crying scene, her big crying moment, because it takes him 10 full seconds to take off that fucking glove.
You're right.
It takes, I timed it. It takes 10 seconds, and he's like, he goes finger by finger, twice around, and then finally has to yank it off. 10 seconds. And she's trying to cry and have an emotional moment, and the camera has to stay on him because he's got his hand right next to his face.
I noticed, you know what? It's funny that you mentioned that, because I only paid attention to the gloves. I didn't even know she had a crying scene. I was like, does he take off the gloves when he gets in the car? I thought that's what you
put
the
gloves on. It's great glove work.
Driving. Like,
but it's, I guess, it's her best moment in the movie. She turns to the camera. It's in profile. Then she turns to the camera, and she's got actual emotion and actual tears. And you're like, oh, maybe the movie's going to turn. Then it cuts to him. Nope. All right, here we go. We're back. Also, I think each flashback they show is slightly different. I think they use different takes, because in the last one...
It's a Rashomon, but they didn't tell the audience. Unreliable narrator.
And the last narrator's like, yeah, they put a blanket over her head right away.
What was really weird is that whenever we see the flashbacks of the murder or any of these things, it's because Charlie Sheen is looking into the eyes of either Nick Cassavetes or Sherilyn Fenn, and he sees this flashback of himself being murdered. Why? He was there. He doesn't need to see a flashback, because he was there when it happened. Right?
Right, and he seemingly is only coming back to kill them.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, I'm reincarnated. Oh, wait. He's not piecing anything together.
No mystery for him.
Yeah, his plan is to simply kill them all in the most obtuse way. Just go fucking run them over. Like, or when you go in with your fucking space shotgun,
shoot them.
Yeah. Don't blow up their shop. And he's like, he's shooting everything but them. And then Nick Cassavetes says, hey, man, put down that kidney buster.
That was...
Which I never have heard as a term for a gun.
I feel like I'm going to hate myself for saying this right now, but I do think that was the weirdest scene in the movie.
Yeah, just...
Where he's, like, shooting everything, and Nick Cassavetes sitting there the whole time like, oh, man.
Nick Cassavetes...
What are you doing?
Is nonplussed by...
So does not care.
All of the Wraith's activities.
Yeah.
He's just like...
Just like, this guy. Ugh.
Just like, well... I'm not impressed. I'm hanging out in my puka shell necklace, my leather jacket, and I'm not impressed, bro.
Skank's jumping into the ceiling like a cat.
I mean, like, this is some crazy... You'd be impressed by this.
A man in leg braces, a space gun, who the doors open and he poses for a very long time before he does anything.
Take it in.
And he's in, like, you know, everyone's checking him out. I forgot about that puka shell.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot. Is that an Italian horn?
And this gun looks pretty futuristic.
Poor gutter boy.
And he spends a lot of time shooting the gun and nobody ever gets shot.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that was a weird... I rewound that because that was weird.
I'm going to just play it a little bit here.
Buddy, I'd put that kidney buster down if I was you. This place is filled with ether and acetylene. Dig?
They all see Charlie Sheen's face.
We have a flashback.
Buddy body going in a trunk. And the car is being pushed off the road. Slowly. It's a slow flashback. Oh, and then they shoot a shotgun. They blow up the car.
No! Hey! I don't know what your problem is, guy, but... Hey!
Pause for a second. Who's the guy in the green visor?
This
is a character I do not remember. Because it's not Augie, is it?
No, Augie dies early.
Augie's already dead here. Who is that guy?
It's not Skank. It's not Minty? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It must be Minty.
But Minty's usually in the varsity jacket, right?
Oh,
he's got the
okay.
State varsity jacket.
That's varsity jacket guy. Minty.
But then he doesn't have it on here, and that green visor threw me off, too.
That really confused me.
I don't understand why Charlie Sheen is in all this gear and getup to build, like... If he could just be Charlie Sheen.
Is this because they couldn't have Charlie Sheen?
Well, I mean, we saw at the end... Yeah, that's definitely why. But story-wise, we saw at the end how much effort it takes for him to take it off.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he was like,
goes,
whoa.
I won't do that again. I won't be doing that again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so you seemingly are doing it all the time because you're appearing in two different locations throughout the entire movie.
Yeah,
What blew
it doesn't
my
make
mind,
a lot of sense.
What blew my mind the most about this, especially later in the movie, when he finally drives his supercar, his Super Dodge, into the warehouse and blows the whole thing up, I'm like, you didn't have to kill him one by one. You could have just killed them all to begin with.
And he's already been to the barn and just shot it up.
Right there.
And so like he comes back later and just drives into it, which causes the barn to explode to a level that is basically equivalent of the mother of all bombs.
And
that explosion, I was like, whoa! That is significant.
Pacing it out would make sense if he was terrifying them. Like the name kind of indicates, yeah. Being a wraith, if he was just, they were getting more and more terrified each time. But they weren't, except Clint Howard. That was the movie Clint Howard was in.
Well, but also, wouldn't you argue, like, if, wouldn't it be cool if, like, the first person he killed was a simple one, like a race one, and the car drove into the car and it blew up, you know? And then the second one, it was a shotgun murder. Like, they just heightened and... They
so, like, Final Destination?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah, they had some sort of build. But no, it's just all car-related.
Or the other
explosions.
Thing would be if the Charlie Sheen in the flashbacks, the Jamie character, had been murdered via car.
Yes.
But he's not. It's not like he gets killed in a drag race. He gets killed, like, in his briefs in a cabin.
We still don't know if they're briefs.
Or whatever. In, like, the bottom of a lady's bathing suit. I'm honestly not sure what he's wearing. But he gets killed unceremoniously, like, in a cabin.
Yeah.
And then disposed of in a car.
But all of the revenge murders take place via car.
So he should be, like, killing them all while they're fucking. I mean, like, that would be the right.
Ooh, one. Nick Cassavetes' weird sex scene with that blonde waitress was very not cool.
And even Randy Quaid gives that actress a look like, I'm so sorry,
yeah.
Honey.
Yeah.
By the way, we haven't even mentioned Randy Quaid yet.
Randy Quaid!
Who gives a stellar performance in this movie.
Maximum Quaid.
Oh, yeah. Why put up a... What was it? Why put up a barrier? We're not even there. When they're like, should we block off the roads at the end? And he's like, can't block something that's not there.
Yeah.
I will just play. This is when Randy Quaid first discovers, again, another red herring in this movie. The first person who's murdered reappears unscathed.
Yeah, they all do. All the people who are murdered are not burned by the accident, are not harmed by the accident. They are... Their eyes are gone.
Only
just the
one.
First one.
Oh,
the first one had their eyes. They say sucked, but looks like burned out. And then they describe the body as that they're like, oh, it looks like he just got out of a hot tub or something.
Yeah,
But
which
why
is not
is
what he looks like.
Happening?
Like, does the Wraith need to feed on their essence or something?
That would have been so much better.
Wait a second. Oh, go ahead.
I have a theory all these things were explained in scenes that were cut where Billy is just hot loading exposition.
He's just like making burgers. Like, well, you know, a Wraith needs eyeballs.
Yeah. Well, you all know when you get killed and the car blows up, you come back as an evil car and you can go kill everybody. But the part of that price is that you got to make sure that everyone gets killed one by one, the evil guy, the worst guy.
Oh, yeah, you can change your face, but not your back scars. Uh-uh.
I think I figured it out. I think I figured it out to a point that doesn't make sense, but I'm still going to explain it. I think each person he kills, he's taking a part of their essence. First person, he's taking their eyes. The second person, he's taking one of their legs. That's why the pieces of the things disappear, because he's like
he
getting a
anymore.
Part of them. But
to
that doesn't make
end?
Any sense because you see him early and he's got his whole body.
You know, yeah. Paul. Paul, I think that's a stretch. I don't think they thought it out.
I wonder if.
They thought it out.
My favorite Randy
Wouldn't it
Randy
be cool
Queen.
If his eyes were missing? Yeah, cool. All right, we'll figure it out later. I got to write the masseuse, the new movie I'm writing for Playboy.
My favorite Randy Quaid moment was the scene where he's in his sheriff's office?
Yes,
whatever. Making paper dolls as he
yes.
talks to everybody. And I feel like, again, such a strong choice for no reason unless... At one point, we revealed that in an original cut, we revealed that the paper dolls were all the people with like eyes burned out, leg off, like whatever.
Yeah.
But we didn't do that.
No, it was just all headless.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Was that what it was?
Yeah, he cut the head. Their heads.
He cut the head off.
Well, we're probably missing a scene where Billy teaches Randy Quaid how to cut off the eyes from little things like that. And then they got in the edit and they were like, "This movie's all about Billy. We got to drop all these scenes."
Nobody cares about Billy.
A little taste of Randy Quaid. He's great.
Oh. Oh, that's ugly, God.
Kiddo, it'll be dog meat.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, Loomis. This kid smashed down a canyon through fire and busting glass.
Must have been 1,000 degrees in that car.
Nope.
Uh-huh. At least.
Where's his eyes?
Sent cats climbing up my spine when I saw him hauling this corpse out of that canyon. Clean, as if he'd come out of a hot tub.
Now, the way he says it,
hot tub.
A hot tub. It's not like a hot tub. It's no, like he's saying, like,
hot
oh, he took
tub.
A... He took a, like, a bath. Like, the way I'm hearing him say it is, like, a hot tub. Not like a hot tub. Like, you know, so it's like, yeah.
Either way, he does not look like that.
No.
He looks like he lives in a refrigerator and rats eat his eyes.
Like, that makes me think that deputy is up to no good. Spending a lot of time in hot tubs.
I always love a movie like this where they have to create, like, cool guy language. Like, they don't, like, they're like, yeah, we're going to do this. And this is how bad guys talk. The other guy, I just realized I'm watching this, it's like a Will Forte SNL character. The other guy, he's like, man, like, you know, there's some
Gutter Boy?
There's an energy to it. I just like what they said, Queef City. It's Queef City. I don't understand why it would be Queef City down by the lake. I don't know what, like, I don't know
how did they get so much air up
Yeah,
there?
If you're sitting up, no.
Maybe that's why all their underwear is being sucked through their assholes.
This movie also, like, did they have different rules back then about paying for songs to be in movies? Because this had, like, legit
Whoa.
Songs in it.
It does have, like,
this
one
had,
of the
like,
best
Motley
soundtracks.
Crue and yeah. Ozzy, and this
and
soundtrack
Billy Idol?
Was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, it's insane. It has a ton of, their soundtrack is amazing. But I feel like this is, like, a time when they're like, just get a killer soundtrack, get Mike Marvin, and...
get me Reed Smoot. Kathy, get me Reed Smoot on the line.
This movie, I mean... This, and then, but again, I don't understand...
Any of it. I didn't understand any of it. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Like, can I just pitch one version of
Nobody had parents. Yes, not a single character had a parent, even though they all appeared to be children.
Or goals at all.
Or goals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like nobody was.
Nobody
like,
was going to college.
Nope.
Nobody.
Sherilyn Fenn was like, "What? Disappear on a bike? Sounds good.
Sounds good. With an angel?
Maybe.
Or a
like, devil?
Where
it could have been
where
a
are
devil.
They going? Where are they going at the end? Is he taking her to the afterlife?
Yes. And he leaves his brother behind.
Yeah.
To get framed for murder.
We should go and talk to the audience about, because they may be able to help us out a little bit here. I do just want to talk about one other thing before we go out there, that when they do have that like sex scene in like the hot springs, there's like chest bone kissing. Like it's not neck, it's below neck, above nipple. Chest bone.
It's a clavicle smooch.
A clavicle smooch. And they are reacting like it's the most erotic thing. Like, oh, kiss my clavicle.
Oh, yeah.
I broke this one down. Because I got really obsessed with how they were treating the flashbacks to the brutal murder.
Yeah.
And, all right, so she says, "You remind me of Jamie. I like you." Flashback to brutal murder.
A brutal murder that they were
her.
Present for.
Yes. Yes.
So they're flashing back to a moment they were both in.
Cut back to them in the creek. Charlie Sheen says, "I love you." Then they kiss each other's clavicles. She says, "You remind me of Jamie. I like you." Flashback to brutal murder. Flashback, "I love you." And she just smiles after he says, "I love you." Like,
I mean,
cool.
Can you imagine?
She obviously falls in and out of love very quickly.
She's a psychopath. She had someone murdered on top of her and was like, meh. Like,
can I get in the back of your bike and show you how to get down to the quarry?
Sure.
I compartmentalize easily.
He's just taking her to a therapist's office in the sky. You need to talk.
You need to process what you've been through.
Because, like, they're like, to me, the movie, I think the better version of this movie.
I mean, I guess
is,
there's a possibility that she is also murdered in that cabin.
Oh, here we go.
And that the whole movie is a Jacob's Ladder scenario. Mm-hmm. Could be a Jacob's Ladder scenario.
Why?
I buy it. I mean, anything.
Or it could be a Jacob's Ladder scenario for Jamie. Yeah. And he's imagining himself as a Charlie Sheen character.
He's in purgatory. Like I feel like he's let go, and he's like, "I'm dead now," but she's still hanging out in purgatory, and he's got to rescue her from purgatory.
And that makes sense because purgatory is a world in which there are no parents,
yeah.
And you're just like at the lake, at the creek, or the quarry, or whatever, and at the burger shop, at the burger stand.
And things are decided by car race.
Yeah.
And there's
that's
a scene.
That's basically Lost.
And there's.
Spoiler alert for
Smoke
Lost.
Monster,
they're
Burger
in
Stan.
Purgatory.
That's,
the TV show Lost. They're in purgatory. Spoiler alert.
They aren't, Jason. I hate to outlast you here. They're not in purgatory until the end of the show.
Sure, yes.
The whole time they're on the island.
Yep.
So. But wait, wouldn't the stronger movie be the Wraith comes to town, he kills everybody, you don't know who it is, and then in the last scene, he pulls up, the black car pulls up to Sherilyn Fenn's house, he gets out of that costume, she's like, "What? You're that guy that I used to date." He's like, "Yeah, I'm back, I fucking killed..." Everyone who killed me now, get on my bike and let's go. Like, the whole charade of falling back in love.
Well, why
it should all be flashbacks. We don't need modern day back to life Jake Jamie. We could just have the car driving around. And anytime we want to see like teen romance, it's some flashback to like, "Oh, remember when we used to go get ice cream together?" Or something like that.
Exactly. Because the movie builds to the point where like he shows up in that black outfit and he's like, "I'm back to Charlie Sheen." And that should be like, I don't know, more of a moment or something.
Well, by then it's like there is no mystery. You're meant to understand, like, oh, he is just both of these characters.
Yeah.
He is both the Charlie Sheen on the bike who's like,
he's,
you know,
three characters.
Because he's Jamie as well?
Yeah.
That's true.
Charlie Sheen is three characters in this movie.
Wow. That's unsettling. And I loved it.
I am a binger. I'm admitting this to you. I binge shows. I love shows. And if you're binging shows, you got to be getting on the Hulu app. Can I tell you, Handmaid's Tale is great. It's amazing. Elizabeth Moss she's fucking fantastic. Everything she does. I also love Hulu because I can watch South Park on Hulu. I can watch The Carmichael Show on Hulu. The things that I forget to DVR, I'm watching on Hulu. And you know what? I just watched Becoming Bond. I talked about that on the mini episode. It's fantastic. It's a documentary only on Hulu. It's so good. And what's different about Hulu? It's got this brand new look and experience. Go on your Apple store right now. Download it. Check it out. It blew me away this week. I was like, whoa, what is this? Hulu looks great. It's more personalized, more intuitive. You can create up to 6 personal profiles, including a new kids mode. And you can watch everything from Hulu originals, like what I mentioned, Handmaid's Tale, Harlots, Casual. Plus The Bachelorette. You know, I'm watching that, Family Guy, A Day After Their Air, plus full seasons of your favorite shows like Fargo, Blackish, Empire, all in one place. Here's what's new. They have a new option to add live TV. So you can experience live TV now for only $39.99 a month, which includes limited commercials, right? And let's get 50 plus live and on-demand channels. You can watch sports, ESPN, Fox Sports 1, including regional sports news, other can't-miss events, perfect for Major League Baseball and NBA Finals. Record live TV with cloud DVR. Yes, they have allowed you to do everything you have ever wanted to do on TV on Hulu now. It's available on iOS, Android, and the new Apple TV, Xbox One, and Chromecast, with more devices coming soon. So enjoy all of your TV in one place with the brand new Hulu experience. Go to Hulu.com, start your free trial today, see what they have cooked up for you, because I guarantee you, you'll be like, wow, I love this new interface. It is great. And go back and revisit a show that I did there for a while called The Hot Wives of Orlando and The Hot Wives of Las Vegas. Amazing cast. And I think you'll love it. Hulu.com. We are now going back to our show, but wanted to let you go that we are in Austin this weekend. That's right. Jason, June, and I, Saturday and Sunday at the ATX Festival. Go to ATX.com. If you want a 2-for-1 ticket, use ATX HDTGM for a 2-for-1 offer. Go to ATX.com. Come see me on Sunday. I'm sharing a whole bunch of cool stuff. June and Jason are reading pilots on Saturday night. Well, I'm going to be reading them too. And then June's doing a panel with Grace and Frankie. Okay, that's all I got to say. If you're in Austin, come out and see us this weekend. Again, we love Austin. We were just there. We're going back again. Going to go eat at Franklin's. Going to go eat at LA Barbecue. Is it Lob Barbecue? I don't know. Anyway, back to our show.
Let's go out here to the audience and see what they have to say. All right. Let's go to you, sir. Yeah, come on over here. Let's have your name. I want to see if you have a better title than The Wraith for this movie. If you don't worry about it, but then I'm putting you on the spot.
My name is Trevor. What the fuck, I guess.
All right, sure, I'll take it. All right.
Well, you mentioned the one of the other movies that Mike Marvin directed. He actually had like 4 like softcore movies that he did.
Okay.
And he's credited as Jake Casey, Charlie Sheen's character. Like, that's the name he used.
Wow.
And so now I'm just wondering, is this like some sort of like thing? Like, I don't know what he's trying to say with that. It's like some Dread Pirate Roberts thing where it's like Jake is like, it's a name you could just take for a cause.
Well, he has written 2 sequels, I think, to this movie that are unproduced.
That are unmade? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're unproduced in every way.
So far.
I love that he's like, my name's Mike Marvin, but I'd like to be known professionally as Jake Casey.
Interesting. So he's become his character. That's a good one. All right, great. Thanks so much. All right, instead of coming up with another title, let's do something different. Come up with your name if you were in a gang. You know, so we have Rughead, right? Skank.
Gutterboy.
Gutterboy. So come on up here.
Minty.
Yeah, Minty. So here we go.
My name is Zach. Curly hair.
Good. Just stop at curly.
Yeah. They kept mentioning how
dangerous the bad guy was, and like you shouldn't talk to the girl, and you shouldn't talk to the girl. And then Charlie Sheen keeps talking to him, never faces any like repercussions, and then the guy sees them making out in front of her house, and he's just gently weeping in his car. It's just his like tears in his eyes, and he's nothing.
Yeah, he should have gotten out of the car there and done something. Maybe he's still being stung from when that moment when she said, "I'll never make love to you." Like another shoehorned in exposition line. Like we got to let the audience know these two have not done it.
Yeah,
this is just a kidnapping. That's a good point. Great. Yes, sir. Your
kidnap
name
dating.
And your gang name.
Evold. Okay. Gang name Goozer.
Ooh, that's good. I like that.
All right, two things. Did you do this because of Easter? Because it's kind of like he's coming back from the dead.
To that, I'll say yes. It was
so
very thought
you
out.
You see the Wraith as a Christ allegory? Wow.
Well, there were three stars in the beginning.
This is
Father, Son, Holy Car.
Holy Wraith.
The second thing was Randy Quaid. Didn't anybody? He was a police lieutenant, but sometimes he'd wear a sports jacket and a shirt. And the same day, back at the police station, he'd be like in a deputy's outfit with a shoulder holster. My girlfriend doesn't think that's weird. I think it's weird.
I hear you're saying that like, because he dresses like a detective and then he dresses like.
You should dump your girlfriend, man. You guys got to break up over this.
No, that is, I mean, again, I feel like they were like, oh yeah, when you go to work, the police station, you got to wear your cop clothes. But in real life, you can wear your regular clothes, right? Maybe that, or vice versa.
Paul, oh. I honestly think that they just let everyone pick their own wardrobe for this movie.
Again, strong choices.
Cassavetes came in with like 11 puka shell necklaces and was like, I'm wearing one of these.
All right, ma'am, your name, your gang name, and your question.
My question.
I like it.
Thank you. In the very end of the movie, he says, "Pack lightly. We're not gonna go far." Where are they going? I think. Is he gonna kill her so they can go to heaven or hell together?
I think he has to kill her. There's no doubt it ends in her murder so that they can share the afterlife together, I believe. Yes, I thought that as well.
I think they're just packing that weird boy underwear that he had and her thong that she puts on sideways.
Pack lightly, I forgot that. Because
yeah.
She wouldn't really need to pack at all. You could argue.
Yeah, but she'd get creeped out if he was like, don't pack anything, get on my bike.
The only thing I want to see you in is wings and a halo.
Oh my gosh. All right, sir, your name, your gang name, and your question. I hold the mic.
Oh boy. Oh, he's really getting
Jeff.
Grabby.
Got to go with the best gang name is from Death Wish 3, Giggler. That's what we got to go with. Right. So I rented the fuck out of this movie in 1990 from Fox Video in Montclair, New Jersey. It was never on the shelf because of me. I loved the fuck out of it. And but so if he looks different, why does he wear a mask? If he's invincible, why does he have armor? And if he's dead, why does he have that breathing tube?
All great questions, yeah.
Well, I'll put it back on you as someone who watched this movie constantly.
Wow. Yeah, what have you come up with?
We've only watched it once, dum-dum. You tell us. I watched this movie so much nobody else could watch it. I also fundamentally don't understand how it works. I've learned nothing. I have the most experience and the least information. I'm a certified moron. That's what you sound like.
One last question. I really want to feel like someone's got something really good. You, all right, let's see what you got. Come to me. All right. Name, gang name, question.
Channing, my gang name would be Buddy.
Channing Tatum, everybody! Whoop, whoop!
Two things. One, you talked earlier about Charlie Sheen's limited time on screen. We actually timed it, and it's a very generous 12 minutes and 30 seconds.
We?
Yeah.
Who's the we and we me actually and,
me
timed
and my gang.
It? What?
Me and my gang.
You have a gang?
And my question is, why does he have those scars? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but scarring is something left for the living.
I agree. I thought that was strange.
But why? But even to me, why would he have those scars if it's a different body?
Yeah, yeah. He seems to have a different body.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a totally different body.
I just like this dude and his friends being like, go.
By the way, I'm glad that they timed it because no one else would. And I'm at like 12 minutes and 30 seconds. Like, this movie is not short. For him to only be in 12 minutes.
It's crazy.
You're not counting Wraith in there, are you?
No, okay. No. Just Charlie.
Just Charlie.
But I mean, that was him in that suit, so.
What was it?
I said, but that was him in that suit, so. That
oh, yeah, totally. Was... Here is a scene that we've talked about a few times, but I think it's worth hearing it in full. The Wraith, a.k.a. Charlie Sheen, appears in front of Sherilyn Finn's house, and this happens. He comes out of his space car in his Wraith costume.
He should have been reacting to everything constantly.
Charlie Sheen kind of like has a crick in his neck.
I can't do that again.
Jake.
You know who I am.
Jamie.
What? How?
It's as close as I could come to who I once was.
It's close enough.
Just think of this as a second chance. We were meant to be together, Carrie.
All right, so that's that. That, like, she's a fucking genius that she figured that out.
But also, she fucked him without knowing that it was him at the beginning. So it's like, oh, Jamie, my ex. Ooh, kind of had sex with the guy that I thought was someone else. Glad it's you, though.
And then this is how his brother, this just, again... The brother scene. These scenes are, I think, so worth it. Here we go. All right, here. Okay.
Well, it's time for me to hit the road. My business here is finished. Before I do, I want you to have something. She's yours now.
Who's mine?
It's outside. Turbo interceptor.
By the way, I want to pause this for
a
minute.
It's a key.
He gave him a key. He goes, who's mine?
She's
the woman
yours.
That you start with this key.
She's yours. Who? Wait. It's definitely for a car.
Yeah.
The fact that he's confused about that makes me not believe that he gets the Jake Jamie thing at all.
I think he's just yelling random names. But also, but Charlie Sheen's performance, like, he is so checked out in this scene. It's like he just does not care about
this
a single word he's saying.
Brother.
Yeah.
You know, and he feels nothing. There appears to be no connection.
He's just like counting down. He's like, I got a flight to catch to Vietnam.
Yep.
Let me shoot all my 12 minutes in a day. Here we go. All right, so it continues.
Only one in existence. Does very special things. Take care of it, will you?
What?
Who are you, bro?
You said it, Billy. I gotta go.
Man, wait a minute. Where are you going?
Hey, Billy. The instructions are in the glove compartment.
The instructions
wait a
for
minute.
A car?
Yes.
Come back!
For a murder car.
Come back, bro!
Far out.
Here we go, the moment that we're all waiting for.
Hey, Jake, who are you?
Oh.
Jake! Jake!
I will never know.
I got to point out earlier in that scene, before he says the bro thing, and he's kind of, and he, Billy kind of figures it out. He's ready to leave.
Yeah.
He's walking out the door, and then Billy has to say something, and then Charlie Sheen stops and comes back, and then the bro thing happens. He's ready to walk away from this guy without ever... Also, he's alive again going to fuck his girlfriend. They're going to see each other, right?
No, he's going to murder his girlfriend and take her to heaven. Which means at this point, he's got nothing to lose. You're a wraith. Just be like, this is going to blow your mind, dude. I'm your brother. Bye. And then you get on your bike.
I agree.
Thank you. Why don't we write these?
All right, so let's hear these lines.
Oh, man. My favorite Randy Quaid one, when he goes to visit Skank and Gutter Boy. First off, the guy, he asks about the workers, his Skank's uncle. And his uncle says, my nephew Skank and his pal Gutter Boy?
I wrote that as well.
Pretty great line.
Because I love that the uncle calls him Skank. Not, what's his name? Maurice? What's his name?
Maurice, yeah.
Oh, I thought Skank was his given name.
And then Randy Quaid comes up to him. He starts a little bit of chit-chatter, and then he says, you listen to me, Skank. I can't call you Skank, right?
Please, Skank is my father.
I mean, oh, God. Skank has a great line later when he's trying to shoot, when they're in the cemetery. Oh, we didn't talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
The gravestone.
Packard's grave.
He desecrates six, at least a half dozen graves in this cemetery.
To get to the good one.
Yeah. Which got his name on it, which he doesn't realize until after he's probably been staring at it for like 2 minutes.
And isn't that when he goes back to the chop shop and then he is unafraid of being killed after he's seen his own death?
Yes.
That's how it works.
Because he's being directed by someone else in this movie. But then Skank pulls out that shotgun and he tries to shoot, the wraith. And he says, eat lead, crud sucker. Which is the shortest possible way to tell someone that they can suck on your crud. The crud sucker.
Wait, does he say, eat lead crud? Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
And then the gun doesn't work, and he's like, he's not human. He's making the gun do something. And it really made me insane that Packard doesn't take the Wraith seriously ever.
Yeah.
Like, the Wraith is clearly a supernatural being.
Killing everyone in his gang.
And Packard is never impressed.
You think it drove you crazy? Clint Howard was nuts about it.
Yep, that's true.
When Clint Howard says it's a Wraith, the two guys, Skank and Gutterball, seem like they understand, like, they're like, yeah. Like, but I feel like I'm, first of all, surprised that Clint Howard knows what a race is. And I feel like these guys, like, no one seems like, there's nothing, this wraith is showing himself as a wraith at all points. Like, oh yeah, that's why he disappears. That's why all of our friends have died. That's why the eyes have disappeared. Like, no one takes anything.
People see him turn into balls of light. Like, the police are chasing him and he's like, and they're all just kind of like, huh.
Maybe that stuff happens there a lot.
What is the movie where everyone is on like acid? Like, and they all don't say anything because they're afraid that they're not really seeing what's actually happening.
It's all
like, they're just all side-eyeing each other like, did you? Was that just...
That's why Cassavetes is crying in the car. Everyone's on their own fucking weird trip the entire movie.
He's coming down from it. He's just got a huge glass of orange juice. He's got a great line, and this also goes back to him being in a completely different movie. When Randy Quaid busts up his weird foreplay with that blonde girl at his sex lair, on his way...
Behind the beaded curtain?
Did you notice that in the sex lair, before you get into the sex room, there's a painting of two skeletons having sex?
Were you like, oh my God, that's my house?
Yeah. I was like, cool, that's cool, I'm going to rip that off.
Right as he's about to leave, so Quaid is like, tells him he's going to, you know, take him down to the police station. With no irony and kind of putting on a lisp, Cassavetes says, see you in the squad car. That I went back and watched that like 5 times. I couldn't believe it. That was the craziest choice he made.
And he chose a movie full of crazy choices.
Yeah.
And what is he even alluding to? Like, is that like? I mean, obviously, like, he's like making some sort of like gay joke, but like, is that in the car? Like, in the?
I don't know. I mean, Quaid is going to take him down to police station, so he's basically saying like, yes, I'm cooperating, and I assume that you're driving, so I'll see you in the squad car. But he says it like that.
Yeah.
See you in the squad car.
And then Randy Quaid says to the girl, are you okay?
And she's like, for sure, no, look where I am. Yeah. Of course not.
I'm living my best life.
She was my big hope for this maybe passing the Bechdel test. And just didn't.
No, but he threw her shirt.
Yeah, but she didn't get to have a conversation with Sherilyn Fenn where they talked about something besides the Wraith. That was... No? Nobody? Okay, whatever.
No, it's true. Even though they worked together at the burger joint, they never talked about anything that wasn't the Wraith. Yeah.
Well, obviously we had an opinion about this movie, but there are other people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
They say this movie's awful. No, this movie's awesome. When you're under your mouth, just hear me out.
That was a very melancholy theme by Alex Soldado. Thank you so much. These are weird. I'm going to get off the bat and just say these 5-star reviews from Amazon are pretty weird. Let's just start here. This is the one that... this is about the most normal one. From Chris Z., written in 2016. From the days when movies had story and meaning. 5 stars.
Oh, wow.
Then from Jeffrey Flint.
I'd be curious to hear what he thinks is the story and meaning of this movie.
Like, how did he connect with it?
This is from Jeffrey Flint, written in 2014. It makes you wonder what people in real life would do for revenge of a lost love in life. I want to be able to do that if I died. 5 stars.
Nope. Yeah, yikes.
This one, I can't quite figure out how it got in here, but you'll see why. Title of this review is called Works Great by Angela Sherwood. This is a great item to have to let you know if the dishes are clean or dirty. I think we all make the mistake of going inside the dishwasher sometimes when it's dirty and grabbing a dirty dish. So I love this magnet. It's very sturdy and it works great.
Meanwhile, that magnet has a review of the Wraith underneath it.
This magnet doesn't make any sense at all.
Let me get it straight with this magnet. All right, so the magnet's just trying to get eyes out of people?
The magnet is both a car and a motorcycle. And also Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen's barely on this magnet. This is from Ryusko, 2009. I have this movie on VHS since it first came out. And I had a couple of friends come over, and we decided we wanted to watch The Wraith. I said, that sounds like a plan. Being we hadn't seen it in a long time. I put the tape in, cracked open my beer, MGD, of course. We started to watch the movie. We got halfway through it, and the VCR decided to start crinkling the tape to a point that it snapped, stretched out, and broke the tape. I was furious. I have always cleaned the tape path of my VCR. And not just by sticking a tape cleaner and calling it done. No way. Took the cover off, I cleaned the entire path, and I stuck new bands on it as well. That's how it lasted me since The Wraith came out.
That's why now I see when it was on DVD, I knew I had to have it. And I didn't care how much it cost, I wanted it. I give this movie 10,000 stars if you're able to. Amazon! They have everything here. I'll never shop anywhere else except right here. Amazon.com! The Wraith. Buy this movie before it's gone. It's already out of print. Excellent movie. 5 stars.
But we know he'd prefer to give it 10,000 stars.
Which is not a realistic rating.
That was written by Clint Howard.
There's...
I'm going to read this one. It's not as funny as that last one, but I think it will be interesting to hear. It was written by D.A. Hanks. The Wraith is a modern remake of the Clint Eastwood classic, High Plains Drifter. In The Wraith, Eastwood is replaced by Sheen, and the horse by a fantastically futuristic car, the Dodge PBG Industries Pace Car, a.k.a. the Turbo Interceptor. Jamie Hankins is dating Kerry Johnson, the leader of the notorious road racing gang that claimed Kerry for himself. However, and decides to eliminate the competition, Jamie is brutally murdered and his body set ablaze in a fiery car crash. Now, Jamie was no good guy in life. And upon his arrival in hell, he makes a pact with the devil to exchange the souls of every gang member responsible for his death in exchange for his own soul's release. Jamie returns to Earth as Jake, the driver of the hottest car ever built. One by one, he eggs members of the gang into races where he emerges victorious and the loser ends up dead, his eyes missing. This is a sure sign that they have been sent back to hell. Each time a gang member is killed, a mysterious brace disappears. Once the last member is dead, the final brace is gone and Jamie is set free. This is one of my favorite movies. And I was privileged to work with David Sherrill recently, who played Skank in the movie. A lot of these guys were nobodies when it came out, but they have gone on to much bigger and better things. An awesome movie with a killer's 80s soundtrack. 5 stars. Now, that's interesting because what he describes there... makes sense.
It's a much better movie.
Like, it's not the movie, though, right?
Yeah. No. I mean, it might have been at one point that might have been scripted.
Get any of that.
But yeah, he's added quite a few scenes. Also, I love that in this review he name drops.
Like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
David Sherrill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Skank. I worked with Skank.
By the way, why couldn't Charlie Sheen like just say, "I made a deal with the devil"? Like, that would have been great.
That's like an extra 30 seconds. He's got to get to Vietnam.
Charlie, can we do take two? No. All right, moving on.
Billy, Billy, get in here. You know, my brother made a deal. My brother was not a great guy before he died. My hope is that right now he's making a deal with the devil to come back and get revenge on whoever killed him. Burgers up.
What?
Mr. McGuire wants a soda. All right, hold on a second. Anyway, so he'll back, but he'll have... Let's say 4 people killed him, right? He'll have 4 different braces on his body. Right?
That's and the devil keeping him in check so he doesn't escape and run away. But his other body doesn't have any braces on it. Because, like, that would have been great if his other body was confined to like a wheelchair or something like that. Like, and he could have gotten up and then like free. Because he seemed to roam with no problem. Guys.
I'm just thinking of Charlie Sheen in a wheelchair doing all the things now in the movie.
Floating down a river in a canal.
And Cassavetti's still being like, who's this prick?
He's a dork, man. This town's full of dorks.
It's Quip City, man. Quip City.
By the way, just one fun fact that you really can't tell from this movie. It was shot in January, so the water was absolutely freezing one of those scenes. So it just gives you just a
which
little...
is why he's like, it actually warms up if you get in here.
Sounds like improv.
Yeah.
Well,
yes, and
I mean, I think we've uncovered as much as we can uncover with the Wraith.
Tim, want to tell us about what you got to plug? Your show, your brand new show on CISO. Very funny show.
Yeah, it's called Shrink. It took us 5 years to make it. Woo! Woo! It's been out about a month, and it's on CISO, along with Bajillion Dollar Properties, of which two seasons are on, and the third season is coming out June 1st.
And you can...
Some bajill heads out there.
A lot of bajill heads here. We most of our audience is 1/4 bajill heads. So tell us about Shrink, just what it's about.
Sure. Shrink follows the story of David Tracy, who graduates from medical school. He's $500,000 in debt. He doesn't get into a university hospital. Doctors have to go through a matching program. So he decides to default, because of his debt, into clinical therapy. And when you do that, you have to register 2,000 hours of supervised clinical therapy, but you can't charge anyone. So he sets out getting Craigslist patients to come into his parents' garage because he had to move back home because of the debt. And they are doing free sessions with them while he is getting supervised from a therapist downtown. So it's the story of him over the course of 8 episodes kind of struggling to get better at his plan B because he's deferring this $500,000 in debt in his life.
Awesome. So Shrink on CISO. Tell us what you have coming up right now.
I just finished working on a show called Drop the Mic that won't be coming out until September, though.
But that's what we can get excited for.
You
Drop
can get
the
excited
Mic
about it.
Is based on the bit that you guys do on Corden, where like you have these rap battles,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, the rap battles on Corden, and now so it's all celebrities doing rap battles. So it's hosted by Method Man. That's neat.
I love it.
Yeah. And if you like rap battles, I also have one on CISO. An episode of the Comedy Show is my rap battle, which is all improvised.
Ooh, look at this. Yeah. Guys, get a CISO account and enjoy these shows.
And I also have my own podcast called Angry Little Goats. And it's fun.
What's Angry Little Goats about?
It's me and another comedian, Will Weldon, just discussing current events and having a lot of digressions and that
I'm
kind
very
of thing.
Excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know.
Jason?
I got nothing.
Nothing? Like, just, you know, anything you've read, anything you want to tell people about?
My friend John has a great new record out under the name Man Forever.
Okay.
If people want to check that out, it's an amazing kind of drums percussion record that
great.
I've been listening to that I like a lot. I don't know. Oh, S-Town I thought was fantastic.
I really enjoyed S-Town.
That was great.
I just finally read Ready Player One, and I thought that was really great, so that's my plug for this week.
Not bad.
It's a really fun book. Did you read it?
No.
No, it's really good. Don't sleep on it. It's really good.
Planet Earth 2. Loved it. Are we just talking about things we like?
Yeah. You know, just kind of, kind of
pizza.
Comes about.
Big Little Lies, no?
Well, you can follow us as always on Facebook and Twitter. A big thank you to Nate Kiley for doing our research, and for Avril for putting together all these amazing video clips that she puts together. And especially, I'm so happy that we have that Rebel Without a Clause mashup there. So, so good. Thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you to July up in the booth. Thank you everybody here at Largo. Good night. Bye-bye. All right, that is all for our show. A big, big thank you to our guests. Like I said, CISO is the place to go if you want to watch Shrink. It's a fantastic show. Eliza Skinner, definitely check her out as well. Big thank you to Kelly Alto, July Diaz, everybody at Largo. And a reminder, if you want to come out and see me at Largo, come out and see me June 27th at Largo. Go to largo-la.com for tickets to see Hanging with Paul Scheer. It's me, it's musical guests, it's conversation, it's internet videos. It's going to be something fun and special, and you'll be at the first one, and I appreciate that. Continue to watch Grace and Frankie on Netflix for June. Watch me on Veep in these remaining a couple of weeks. And Jason is coming out in the new movie, The House, at the end of the month. So mark your calendars. Get it ready. Get ready to go. And we will see you next week on the mini episode. And a reminder to you, if you have something to talk about that we have not talked about on this episode, give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. And if you haven't already done it, listen to How Did This Get Made? Origin Stories, available now on Stitcher Premium. Hal is now Stitcher Premium, so head over to Stitcher Premium to check out commercial-free episodes of How Did This Get Made? Not the recent ones, but older ones. And our brand new companion series,
Call us at 619-PAUL-ASK. Ask me questions about the Wraith. Ask me questions about life. I will answer them all. 619-PAUL-ASK. I love you all. And we'll see you next week for a mini episode to tell you what's next and to hear what we got wrong. Bye-bye.
I'm Stephen Dubner, host of Freakonomics Radio and also of a new podcast called Tell Me Something I Don't Know. It is live journalism wrapped in a game show with super smart contestants, celebrity panelists, and a live fact checker. Our first two seasons got 8 million listens, and now we are back with a third. You never know what you're going to learn.
Instead of taking the old kidneys out, a surgeon will opt to leave the new kidneys in. And they'll just keep adding them in, as many as they can fit.
Turns out that the term three sheets to the wind is actually a miller's term. It comes from windmills, which are supposed to have four sails, or four sheets. And if the miller forgets one of them, the windmill starts shaking and stumbling like a drunk person.
Oh, I did not know that.
Subscribe to Tell Me Something I Don't Know on Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. You can catch up on our first two seasons, and don't you dare miss season three. Thanks.
This has been an Earwolf production. Executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.